I think it's enough, yeah.
Okay, so I'm rolling again. We're going to start from the didn't know about AA again.
Yeah. So I didn't know about AA at the time, and so I was searching, I was asking for help, and there wasn't much help at the top prison or help maximum security, but it didn't help as well. There were people that I talked to over there, and I felt their emotions, you know, and I also realized that now that I'm like 3 and a half years sober, and it's not like one time just got it. I had to do research for another 7 years. But when I finally like decided to stop taking all those drugs and all those like alcohol, mostly it was most alcohol, right? And I would, I went on a 7 year spree of like just focusing on work, and that's it, you know? And I kept on working, and I started my business again, blah, blah, blah. And at this time, it was the second time, but this round was the second time. So within a 7 year time frame, I was very miserable. And I remember very, very miserable, but I had women coming in. But then I was focusing on what I wanted to do in life and achieve, and I was trying. In Singapore, I don't know, it's a very, the truth is that, you know, it's only the more connected, wealthier people get the benefit, and the lower end people don't really, and that's a sad truth. And I'm from the lower end, and I try my best to come up, and it's always like down all the way, and it's designed that way. And so I had to come to accept these things, and so I don't believe in like things like CPF and all the stuff. So that's why it's like, you know, and I don't believe in things like, you know, being a widget. You know, you do this thing at a certain age and everything. For me, my calling, my purpose is more important. So within the 7 year time frame, I was doing a lot of more drugs and all alcohol. No, that second 7 year period, nothing. And then finally, when I finally decided to like, you know, had it, at the time my mom was going through cancer, and she didn't want to listen to me. She thought that God will help her. I say it's dumb, you know. It's a very simple thing, you know. It's like, you know, if you ask for help, you know, you need to do certain things. So listen to the doctors. Sure, the doctors are not good. You know, they don't know. You know, they just take stuff. So now I just listen to them. But she didn't. So what happened is that I went back drinking. And very quickly, I went straight for the liquor bottle. And it's like I drank the whole thing, you know. And I couldn't stop drinking, you know. And that's the thing, very weird. Like, I would drink and I cannot stop. And it was only in AA I finally understood why. And I was, not everybody gets it, you know, because they're not alcoholic, you know. That's the thing, people don't really like calling themselves alcoholic, but I do take pride in it because I'm in a different class, you know, and when I take alcohol, something happens in my body and I come to accept that, and the science today doesn't have a solution. So I want more. And after being sober for a while and also like, you know, knowing a few things here and there, I realized that, you know, it's a form of addiction. You know, we always want more. It's always want more. More Hokkien Mee, more love, you know, more. Never ends, right? So for me today, what I'm seeking is more spirituality, more experiences like I can actually achieve. So I'm not bored. I'm not like, oh, you know, I don't have a life, but I do, you know. And that's the thing I also learned in AA. Like, we can pretty much do whatever we want, and we just don't need to hurt people. And that's perfect for that. And so today I'm putting my life back together. It is a struggle, but at least it's much better. I learned a couple of things in AA that I bring back to my life. And it's just going to keep on getting better. And there are people who have actually achieved everything in life. And I know there's a God, but I do not franchise God. I know that some people like to franchise, you know. It's sad, but I hope that, you know, people will, yeah, be more spiritual plane, and we are in a perfect generation where knowledge is everywhere. You have no excuses anymore. Yeah, and yeah, if you think that Google is going to give you everything, you better think again. Yeah, I think, yeah.
I start asking some questions, yeah. Can we go back to when, can we explain, just share a little bit more about when did you, kind of like, when did it hit you that you actually do have that drinking problem? You touched a bit about when you start, you can't stop, but maybe a bit more into like, when did that actually, you know, like, what was your drinking pattern like, and how did you, like, how long did it take you to for it to kind of click, and also maybe a bit about, did that thought thought cross a, did that thought come to you where you said, because actually thought, oh, am I an alcoholic? And between there, how did you get yourself into AA?
Okay, so I know I'm behind my black screen all, but it's a very interesting experience. I remember I was doing delivery for Dell. Dell doesn't employ people to deliver the computers and stuff. So I was working for this particular logistics company, and they didn't pay me salary also, so it was just per point. And what happened was that suddenly somebody hit me from the back, and it was a four-chain collision. I was the second vehicle, and so then I thought, okay, oh, maybe I should, this is my chance to make more money or whatever, right? Luckily, nothing much happened, but my back of my vehicle, the whole window was smashed and the whole door was gone. And at that time also was my first business failure. So I decided to like say, hey, let's go seek medical help. So I went to IMH, you know, I read a little bit about concussion, you know, how maybe, you know, that kind of stuff. And so I went to the IMH and I went to see this particular doctor. He just appeared and he was a pretty well-known doctor. And he suddenly asked me this question. It's like, do you have a drinking problem? I don't remember telling him I've got a drinking problem. It's like, he just asked me, do you drink? I say, yeah, I drink. Sometimes I drink during the weekend. That's it, you know. Then he was like, oh, do you drink? You know. So I'm the kind of person that I don't like to lie. Lying is it's a zero tolerance for me. My mom likes to lie a lot. So that's my upbringing. I do not like to lie. White lie, pink lie, whatever crap, it's lie. So I always like to tell the truth. So I was being hated a lot because I speak the truth, you know. And there's also a way to tell the truth also, you know. So, and that's the thing also I learned in AA. So this doctor asked me, you know, there's a place where I like to go to, you know, would you like to come with me? You know, they have drinking problem, they get together. Oh, okay. But my back of my mind, I was thinking that maybe he would write a report, you know, then it was like, oh, okay, then I can probably. And there was a legal case going on at the time, you know, and then the stupid lawyer just scammed me out of me. It doesn't matter. I didn't get any money out of it. But what happened was that I got to know about AA. And I went to this meeting in Novena, and I just found out recently, it was more than 2003, yes, somewhere in here. So, oh, okay. Then I saw people just sitting there talking, and they say they're alcoholic or whatever. And then there was this person, she was just staring at me. I was like, then I later found out, you know, whatever. They all know each other. And but the doctor mentioned something interesting. He didn't mention his real name. So he didn't tell me first beforehand, you know. Then he's like, oh, you tell me his different name, you know. And then I say, oh, okay, that means we can tell whatever name we want. So, and the first meeting, I suddenly blurted out some other name because I just follow, right? And then I felt very icky, you know, like, oh man, I just lied, you know. But I was listening to them. I went in and out of the rooms, and I couldn't really relate to them at the time. So that's when I went on a 7-year journey to really understand this thing. But I remember I don't like drinking, like I mentioned before. I don't like drinking, but I like the effect it gave. I tried to perfect the technology, you know. I'm like a perfectionist, you know. So I tried to perfect the drinking pattern where just before it gets wavy, that's when I get drunk, you know, try to perfect that portion. So get to that part. For me, it always exceeds, it never gets there, you know. I tried, but yeah. But so it's always blackout. So and whenever I blackout, I always end up in prison or I get into legal case. It's stupid. I was even homeless and I was showering in Sentosa and stuff like that. But I had to do all those things. Does that answer your question?
Yes, okay.
Forgot the question.
No, it's okay.
I think we want to ask that top question again. So you gave us a story about how you came to know about AA. And you gave us a
What made you stop, right?
But what made you drink? And when was it that you realized that you might have an alcohol problem, or have you ever thought that you if it came across to you that you might just be an alcoholic?
So for the first time I picked up a drink, I blacked out just after army. So this is like year 2000 to and about 14 over years. So 7-year time frame, I was like doing all sorts of drinking and everything, but it never occurred. Back and forth, it never occurred. I was wanting to stop, and I found the solutions I was looking for, but it was so difficult for me because I'm poor, and I don't know everything, and people around me just want to use me, And this is the reason why I also stopped drinking, because I was searching for this particular answer where it's not just about alcohol, but it's what was going on with me. Back then, because of the lack of technology and the knowledge, and now people just take it for granted. Like, I actually have a neurological issue called ADHD. So I have, like, you know, and my mom says, when I finally found out after like 14 more years, like, you know, just recently, 3 years ago, when I finally, like, you know, had it, and then I got into a legal case again, and this was the fifth time I was looking at 5 years, and my mom was going through cancer at the second time, and then she finally listened. But I lost my job again, but this time around was like a public listed company, and even though it was like fake degree, and again, I told them I had cases before, I still went through and I did my job very well, but I had to lose that job, and it was very frustrating for me. So when I finally, like, you know, decided to just give up and wanted to ask for help, you know, and I remember I was drinking a lot, and I was sitting outside this Chinatown area, and it was like 6th of February 2016, somewhere around there. I was drinking so much, and my friends, my leftover friends, good friends, you know, they just started disappearing away, you know. Or he doesn't show up, you know, he's never around. So then when I finally had it, and I asked God for help, like, you know, God, whoever you are, just, I need help. I don't know what to do. So then I remember blacking out, just blacked out. And then I woke up at a police station. Then I was handcuffed, and they said, you know, they're going to charge me for stealing a phone, you know. And it was two phones, they said. Oh, two phones? I can't even remember because it was blacked out. Two phones? What do you mean? Yeah, but the other one, we are still thinking about it because, you know, they cannot find who's the owner, whatever, right? So what happened was that I actually made a call and I asked for help. And they asked me to go to this particular place nearby where I drank the very next day and ask somebody to actually, like, get to know more about AA. So that's when I got to know. And we read a book. In AA, we have a book. It's not a Bible kind of thing, but it's a lot of facts. And it's very interesting, you know. But he mentioned, right at the beginning, the doctor, Dr. Bob, there are two people who created BLW and Dr. Bob. And Dr. Bob mentions that, you know, for alcoholics, when we drink, we can't stop. They say, oh, yeah, I can't stop. No matter how much I've tried, cannot stop. Because there's something happening in the body, and that's when I had to accept it. So I accepted, oh, that means I cannot drink anymore. I cannot beat science anymore. Then the second part is that I'm always thinking about like wanting more, wanting this, wanting that, you know. So that's when I said, oh, okay, that means I cannot do anymore. So I stopped from that day onwards. So it was the 7th of February 2016. Yeah, so until today, and I never look back at it. Yeah, does that answer the question?
Maybe we can wrap up with one last question.
Ah, that's it? Oh my God.
We don't have to worry about just
one last one, which is, what advice would you give to someone who is hesitant about coming into AA for the first time? Like, what would you advise them?
Okay. For those who are searching for answers in life, because it boils down to, like, you know, what is it that we want? That's the thing, when anybody, like, and I talk to anybody, you know what's the first question I ask? It's not, how are you? I ask them, you know, so what are you up to? So what are you doing in life now? And I realize that people are all searching for something in life. Every single one is searching for something in life. And I always like to quickly get to it. And I don't judge people. So I can see through the eyes. And I'm like, oh, they're so funny. You know? And so for people who are... And that's the thing for AA, you know, even though it's like a label thing, I do not like labeling, it's just stupid. My advice to anyone who's searching for answers in life, do whatever it takes, you know, be it AA, be it NA, be it gambling, be it whatever, you know, sex addict or whatever. But find out what is it that you're searching for, and look for those people who are, like in AA, we have like some of the most... intelligent people, you know, and pretty much they know, and from experiences as well. So for those people who are searching for answers to life, and, you know, just do whatever it takes, and let go. If people are going to label you, let it be. because that's how they want you to be. They want you to be the widget, and that's the social thing has been going on for so long for Singapore to come up. So let them label you, be it your parents, girlfriend, think about your dog or a cat, you know, that it doesn't label you, but it just loves you for who you are. So just love you yourself for who you are, and keep searching for the answer, and it will come. And so yeah, so take the step forward, let it be. If people want to label you, let it be, you know. They will just go away. So that eventually, the more of who you are, you attract the people of with the same vibrations and stuff. So yeah, hope.
I just got a few more questions, quick one.
Okay.
Can you tell me three things that drinking has made you lose?
Lose. Well, three things that has made me lose. First was like ego. I had to lose my ego, like be humble. Even though I may know certain things or may be able to do certain things, I have always see myself as one step lower than you, that you've achieved something more. It can be anything. So three things are things like I'd lose my ego. I'd lose all my money in my life. I had to be homeless, you know. I had to lose my friends and family. I get into debts and everything. So it's like, yeah, I have to lose everything. And it's not just once. I had to lose it again. And now for the third time, I lost everything again. But this time around, I found AA. So now I've got no more excuse. Now I can do things. So I had to lose everything in life. Yeah, everything. Yeah.
How long have you been sober for?
Right now, it's sober for about 3.5 years. But I do not see time as time. And that's the thing. That's important for, especially for newcomers. Don't bother looking about those people who are 3 years. Look for those people who are like 1 year and they still continue to stay for 1 year. So it's not about the time, but it's about what they do. So that's why I mentioned before, right? Like find what is it that you're looking, searching for in life, and then find those people, because those people are the one that's going to continue to keep you sober and have fun in life. Yeah.
So being 3 years sober now, 3.5, what are the things that you have gained back? What are the advantages? What are the positive things that you've seen since you've been sober?
Okay, three things. I would mention 300 things, but in lack of time. But three things I've achieved, gained back, is so many things. I would say my life. You know, I've gotten into situations where I would have died or would have hit by a car. I was hit by a car. And no, lorry this time. Yeah, but so I got my life back. I got my purpose more solidified, and I also got into a frame of mind that I have nowhere else to go. That's another one. Then I also have gotten back some of my memories, and also found out the answer that I've been searching for 31 years, which is my neurological issues. And so I'm using that as an advantage. I have weaknesses, but I just focus on the advantages. So I have so much. Yeah, so I've gained so much more than I lost. And if you think that losing everything in life is the most lowest thing that you can achieve, no, you're not. The gains are much more. And it's going to just keep on going up as long as I continue to be sober. Yeah.
Just give me that line that I've been sober for 3 years and I've gained more than I've lost. Maybe you can give me that line, because you told me, you answered all the questions, but I didn't hear the...
Okay. 3 years. I've gained more.
Yeah, because you're mentioning that you gained more than you lost, right?
Okay,
I would like to hear that. You know, I've been 3 years sober and I've lost everything in life, but okay. I've gained so much more.
Okay. I'm currently about 3 years, 3.5 years sober, and I've lost everything in life over and over again. But within these 3 years, I've achieved so much more, and it's just going to keep on getting better and better.
One last question and we'll be done. What do non-alcoholics don't understand about alcoholism?
what non-alcoholics do not understand is that for people who are our colleagues, is what they don't understand is that we're all the same, and we're just searching for answers in life, and just that we have come to the conclusion that we need to seek what we want to find, and so we do try. And that's what none of our colleagues don't really understand, because of compartmentalizing things and just giving up in life. Our colleagues, we do not give up. We will try in every single permutations possible. You know, just like the answer to pie. You know, yeah. This answer.
What would you tell the family members if their father or their husband or their mother or their wives is an alcoholic? What would you tell the family members?
What would I say to the family members who think that their girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, you know, or son that has drinking problems? Be more loving and just let them explore. Try not to control too much, because controlling is the, and psychology can easily explain this why, but do not control. Be there, like two steps behind, just look, just guide, treat them with respect, especially younger ones. What worked before is not going to work today. You have knowledge, you have like everything at your disposal now. So be in a more loving and accepting way. And when you show more love and accept, they will understand automatically, and you don't even have to do anything. So take it that, use that approach. Do not use, no, my way, no way, you know. But use in a more loving and accepting way. And sit back and enjoy, because the you're going to get surprised. Yeah.
Got any more questions?
No.
Okay,
wow, really?